Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. So, Jordan, I've been thinking a lot this week about what it would be like to play Nintendo Switch games on my computer. You know, I only have so many monitors, and I wish that I could also just hear my game sound through my PC while I'm on, like, a Discord call or something without having to open up, like, OBS or something. Like, what do you think about if Nintendo could do that for us?
Well, as a PC gamer enthusiast, I would definitely really like that. I don't see it ever happening, but it is something I've been thinking about more and more lately because the other console big three members have been moving towards PC.
Yeah.
So, like, Microsoft is all on board right now.
Well, like, of course, they own Windows.
Yeah, they own Windows. It's surprising it took Microsoft as long as it did to get to that point. Because who cares if people are playing on Xbox or Windows as long as they're on a Microsoft system, right?
Right.
But the more surprising one is that Sony is now moving more into PC, largely because PC isn't really a competitor to console space. If you're going to get a PC, you're going to get a PC. And if you're going to get a console, you're going to get a console.
Right. And there's so much freedom on PCs to download pretty much any game store you want. You know, you can get games from the Microsoft Store or from Games Pass, or you can, you know, get the Epic Games, whatever store that's called. You can get Steam. You can even just download game files from, like, publishers themselves, like sometimes indie developers will do. You know, there's a lot more freedom on PC, even if it is controlled by Windows.
Yeah. And Sony clearly has seen a lot of success moving to PC. With what they have done. It's been recently rumored that Sony is going to make their own storefront or sometime soon for PC. I believe it was in, like, some files mentioning it in one of their latest PC releases. I think it was Spider-Man a few months ago.
Yeah, but I think I recall that. Yeah.
It would definitely be interesting. If Sony were to do it, I really hope that they add in cross play would be nice too, but more like cross save
yeah.
features. Because owning a Steam Deck definitely makes I've definitely fallen in love with that kind of feature. Just being able to be able to switch back and forth. Sometimes I want to play games on my TV, and sometimes I want to play on my PC. And if I had the ability to just jump between with my same game files, say like Bloodborne, that'd be great.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's becoming more and more apparent for me as I'm starting to, like, play various different games across different consoles even. You know, like, I've been playing quite a bit of Splatoon 3. I've been really enjoying playing, like, some high-level Salmon Run and some Anarchy Battles in Splatoon. And it's kind of annoying for me to, like, get the best experience by switching my monitor port over to the HDMI input instead of the display port from my PC. And then there are also other problems where my desktops don't, like, rearrange themselves to accept that there's only one monitor that's actively watching the PC. So, like, I lose a lot of information on that monitor, and it's kind of a headache. Plus, the way that I have it set up, I have the audio input only coming from the game, and maybe I want some notifications and stuff. But, you know, being switching back and forth between all of that stuff, it really kind of shows that, at least for me and other people that play on multiple consoles, more integration like that would be absolutely wonderful. And that's kind of, you know, what this episode is really about, right? You know, I'm sure there are some listeners out there that are like, what the heck, guys? Why are you only talking about Microsoft and Sony right now? Aren't you guys a Nintendo podcast? And yes, we are. And the real topic we wanted to kind of dig into was game exclusivity. You know, like, what is game exclusivity, Jordan?
Well, I think Nintendo fans are no stranger to game exclusivity because that is one of the primary pillars of Nintendo's business model. It's basically games are exclusive to some sort of platform, usually to try and draw people into purchasing that platform. Back in the old days, it was also because porting between systems was a mess.
Yeah.
It was a lot more difficult, to the point where, like, games that were on one system were, like, drastically different games on a different system.
Right. And that mostly had to do with, you know, architecture, the actual hardware itself inside. But nowadays, yeah, you know, between consoles, everyone's basically running 64-bit processors here and there. So it's not that difficult. You just have to change it for like operating system and other hardware peripherals.
Yeah. The only difficult one to really port to is the Switch itself.
Right.
But porting from the Switch to another system isn't that bad.
Right. But porting to the Switch has all sorts of problems. You know, you have to deal with changing resolutions between handheld and TV. You have to deal with the much lower power. And then, you know, there are probably a whole bunch of other things as well. But those seem to be the major ones from what I see.
Yeah. But yeah, back in the old days, the Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation were just basically completely different worlds. The way they access memory and everything, it heavily influenced what kind of games were available for each system. Because like the PlayStation was disc based, and so it had access to a lot more storage, read only storage from the disc.
Right. But
accessing that storage was a lot slower than a cartridge. But which the N64 had, but the cartridge had less memory on it. So what resulted in what that ended up happening was PlayStation games tend to be more lengthy, slower games, sort of like JRPGs and stealth games like Metal Gear Solid was big. Stuff where they could have like a wide variety of assets, but didn't have to like read them in very quickly. Whereas the N64 was more focused on high action games that didn't have a lot of variety in assets.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting point. You know, you don't think about those differences all that often until you put them in the context of like, well, what was the main difference between those two consoles? And I mean, you look at games like Super Mario 64 and Zelda and even like GoldenEye and whatnot, and those games typically loaded up super fast, but often looked worse than the PlayStation 1 games on the other side in a lot of ways. Some of them look totally fine, but
it really depended on what kind of graphical style they're going for. But like, there were games on the PlayStation 1 that had really good looking pre-rendered cutscenes, and you just couldn't get that on the N64.
Oh, no. Good luck trying anything like that on N64 without super compression. The only example of like a video that plays that I can think of up the top of my head is Pokemon Puzzle League's introduction, where it's like basically a scene from the anime, but it's super low resolution and pretty short.
One cutscene that really made me sad when I came across it, I got StarCraft 64 for the N64 because I loved StarCraft on the PC, and the opening cutscene was turned into a slideshow on the N64 instead of a pre-rendered scene.
That's amazing. Hey, at least the game.
And there was like
it, right?
No sound or like people speaking. It was very compressed.
That's kind of amazing, though, in its own way. But, you know, Nintendo games have been exclusives almost like their entire life, right? Like, there are very few exceptions to Nintendo properties being on other platforms. And really, the only examples I could find were in like the 80s and 90s with things like, you know, Mario Bros. On the Atari with their special edition of Super Mario Bros. On like the PC 8801. There's also like the instance where Nintendo had some weird licensing mishap deal with Philips and got a couple of Zelda games and a Mario game on the Philips CDI. But I guess that was technically an exclusive. Then there's, of course, like there are all of their arcade machines, which technically is Nintendo made hardware in a lot of ways. But, you know, it wasn't exclusive to an at-home console, I guess. And then there were other things like Nintendo's obsession with learning based games in the 80s and 90s with like Mario Teaches Typing and Mario's Missing. But most recently, Nintendo franchises on non, you know, Nintendo platforms are like the mobile games that they've got, like Mario Run, Pikmin Bloom, Pokemon Go, the Mario Kart mobile game, Fire Emblem Heroes, and whatever else they've been working on. So I guess in some ways they've been branching out, but I think the mobile scene is much different than putting a game on PC or other consoles.
It is. We'll probably talk a bit more on mobile because I feel like Nintendo could utilize another angle with mobile that they haven't been doing, surprisingly. But yeah, so they still do a bunch of mobile games. They still do some arcade games as well. Obviously, those can't really come to other systems. So they have the ones that come to my mind, they have a dedicated Mario Kart arcade, and then also a Luigi's Mansion arcade game.
Yeah, that's right. And then in the past, they've also had like F-Zero arcade games and other fun things that they've brought out too.
So the big question I kind of, well, I already know the answer, but I would like to ask is, should Nintendo be available on PC? It's much harder sell to have Nintendo probably bring their games to other to the other big three, even though like Microsoft clearly doesn't care if Minecraft and Ori and other games have been all over the place. But Nintendo still kind of caught up in that idea of we can't put our games on competitors' machines. PC is kind of a different beast, though. And I'll also throw in mobile as well. PC and mobile, they're not really direct competitors to Nintendo. Nintendo's already on mobile themselves, but they tend to make games specifically for mobile. There haven't been too many games that have been dual release on the Switch and mobile, right? There have been a few. I can think of like that Pokemon block game. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah. What was it called? But I know exactly what you're talking about. And also like Pokemon Quest has been on Switch and mobile. And
yeah,
is the cafe Pokemon game on mobile? I don't think so. No, but yeah, Pokemon games have kind of had both. Pokemon Unite is also on both Switch and mobile, and that's a pretty big title.
There probably are a few games Nintendo could bring to mobile. The main one I'm thinking of is retro games. I think Nintendo would make a lot of money if they were to just port the original five Pokemon games to mobile.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's already a market out there that's using their like jailbroken phones that are emulating on their phones. Like, I know I have seen that over the years. People just playing Pokemon.
You don't even need a jailbreak your phone. True. They just have emulators.
I think there are like some emulator websites too, that so you can just do it from your browser. I mean, I know I've browse like the Nuzlocke forums on like Reddit and whatnot, and people post screenshots using their phones all the time. So why Game Freak and Nintendo don't utilize that market for Pokemon is beyond me, because I think most phones are comfortable enough that people could play with two hands to play through Pokemon. And yeah, it might be a better place for Pokemon games than Switch if they're only going to choose one or the other. Considering you've got like Pokemon Go and Pokemon Home also on your phone. So having a way to connect that up, if they want to do transferring of Pokemon, would also be very cool. There are also quite a few other Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games that I think would work really well on mobile. In fact, I would say pretty much the entire Game Boy library would work, considering the size of phone screens now. Right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I think pretty much every game from the NES, SNES, and the Game Boy lines could easily go to mobile.
Yeah.
And so there's no way Nintendo would just allow you to buy these games individually anymore. Nintendo, as we've learned with the Switch online experience, clearly wants to maintain the rights to these games to try and make sure that you keep paying for them over and over and over again, rather than just paying $5 for Mario Bros. On the Wii.
Yeah, there was like a report just a couple weeks ago that Nintendo Switch Online made almost $1 billion in 2021 alone. So clearly the subscription model of locking their retro content behind that is a great business move for them.
Oh my God. That stat hurts me so much. $1 billion. They did nothing. There's like no service there.
Like, where are the Game Boy games? Where are the Game Boy Advance games? Why don't we have things on like mobile? The list goes on and on, especially since we know that Nintendo's online services aren't that great anyway. There's no way people are paying for Nintendo Switch Online just to connect and play with other friends. Like, that's a huge sell for a lot of people, but it's definitely for the retro content that Nintendo has kept exclusive to their platforms for way too long.
Yeah. And I feel like Nintendo definitely needs some sort of like Netflix subscription model for retro games, not only just so, well, largely because Nintendo's kind of bad at maintaining like the history of games. There's like a major concern that games will get lost or whatever to time. obviously the more popular games, that's not going to be the case. People are going to have ROMs of them sticking around for quite some time. But it would be nice for Nintendo to just have every old game available on the market in some capacity. So we've been saying over and over again, where are the Metroid Prime games? Why wasn't Metroid Fusion released and available to the market before Metroid Dread came out? It'd just be nice to have a simple catalog to go to for old games. That also benefits their new releases when people are being newcomers to the franchise and need to go back and play through some of the old stuff to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, the farther and farther we get away from the initial releases of games earlier in the series, you know, you brought up the Metroid series. It had been what, like 16 years between Metroid Fusion and 19. Metroid Dread? 19, excuse me, I missed three whole years. That is like, unless a 19-year-old was lucky enough to have parents that had Metroid Fusion, there's no way that they've played it in their lifetime before playing Dread, you know? And that's only a person 10 years younger than us, Jordan, you know? Like, it's just bonkers.
They're an adult, too. They lived their entire life without 2D Metroid between those two points.
I know, that's so crazy. But, you know, like, when there comes a game that is a sequel or builds on the story of a previous game that came out years and years and years ago, not having an option to play it is honestly, like, disrespectful to the series itself, I think. You know, it's a different case for, like, games that are released on SNES and NES because Nintendo has those on the Switch. But anything that was Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, or GameCube, those games are hard to find and come by legally, you know?
Yeah, GameCube's one of the hardest. I feel like Wii's going to be pretty difficult pretty soon here. Wii U, everything's been ported to the Switch already, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do feel like Nintendo would really benefit from a subscription service that has their entire catalog of games that they 100% own the rights to, from NES all the way up through, say, their last console, right?
Yeah.
And so then have that be available on Switch, PC, and mobile to the extent that those hardware are capable of emulating those previous games.
Yes.
So obviously, GameCube games wouldn't work on mobile, and Wii U games being emulated probably wouldn't run too well on the Switch, but they could run on PC. And these games are out of print. So it's not like it hurts Nintendo at all to have them be available on some sort of subscription service.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Retro content needs to be preserved, especially as like for their artistic value. You know, you did mention the art of preserving, and Nintendo seems to have like everything on their servers, but once that is no longer available to the public, it could start to get lost. And again, like I mentioned earlier, I am just of the opinion that if you want to play a game in a series, you should be able to play all of the games in the series fairly easily, especially if they all connect to one another. You know, for something like the Tales series, where each game is its own independent story, you don't necessarily need to go play through all of them. But when it comes to the Metroid series or the Zelda series or even the Mario series to an extent, those games all like build on top of each other and their mechanics and in some cases their lore and stories. And it's a much more complete and interesting experience to see how that history has changed throughout the years, you know, especially as we start getting to Metroid Prime 4. Where the heck are Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3? We haven't seen a release of those since the Wii U eShop download that just put it onto the Wii partition of the operating system. You know, it's just bonkers to me that we don't have better access to those games. And having that online service, like you mentioned, Jordan, for all of these sorts of games that allows us to even play them on PC would just be so amazing. And honestly, probably make Nintendo more money than they realize.
Yeah. And one of the main reasons why I suggest PC is because the architecture on PC is just going to stay static for quite some time. Whereas with the Switch 2 or whatever console comes next, that they kind of have to uproot everything again, right?
Yeah.
For their emulation.
Yeah, considering they're like systems on a chip and, you know, they're custom designed for their particular hardware, it can be really tricky to port and emulate.
Secretly is one of the reasons why Nintendo hasn't done this is because they don't want to be expected by their customer base to do it again for the next system.
It makes sense.
If it was on PC, when the next console comes out, you still have access to it on one, the previous console, and two, PC, until they are able to get it up and working again on the next console.
Right. And, you know, if Nintendo really wanted to go in on this, they also have all of the work of all of the fans out there that have done immense research on how to get their games running on
Nintendo's
PC.
Not going to use fan work.
No, they literally can't because of licensing issues and whatnot. Like, I know for a fact that a lot of these types of programs have particular licensing that would require Nintendo to either, like, well, not either. It would require them to completely open source everything if they used any of the contributions of the community. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. What I was mostly getting at is, like, it would be cool if Nintendo saw these people and then decided to, like, approach them to potentially hire them to do it in an official capacity. I'm sure some people would jump at it and other people would be like, no, I want to keep doing open source and stuff like that. I don't know. I just think the resources are there, and Nintendo clearly has seen over the last, 20, 30 years that people are willing to write these emulators, that there has to be a market for them to do this for PC.
Yeah, it really would not be that hard to get everything working on PC. Although with how Nintendo does it, we would get a drip feed of two games every 3 months.
Yep, every 3 months. I was about to say, if you were going to say every month, no, Jordan, that's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know why Nintendo is so slow with releasing digital content, but
Jordan, you know how hard it is to drop a ROM file into the package that they then upload to the CDN?
I would understand it if they were more like multiplayer focused games and they have to actually put some more work into them, which they've been getting better at recently. The latest batch of N64 games are multiplayer focused games, right?
Yes.
But I don't understand why it took them so long. Why was Banjo-Kazooie not at release?
Licensing. I don't know.
Probably not.
Licensing. Microsoft loves them now. They're like, yes. They already got Banjo on the N64. That just reminds me of like how Smash Brothers Brawl had like all of those Virtual Console demos on the disc itself.
Nintendo was a lot more loose with their Virtual Console stuff back on the Wii.
Yeah, they would release things fairly often. I mean, I remember launching the Wii Shop channel just to check and see if any new Virtual Console titles were released, and I'd often buy them.
Yeah, they definitely made a lot of money on the Wii, so much so that I believe Capcom and Square and all of them realized that they can make a lot more money if they did it themselves rather than going through Nintendo. And so that's why the Wii U was a bit more sparse. But also Nintendo ran into the issue where people are like, why do you want me to pay $5 again for Super Metroid? I already paid for it. Just let me bring my data from the Wii over to the Wii U.
They're like, no, you can't.
Well, they said, yeah, but it'll cost you $1 to port it over.
Right. Sorry, you have to update that license. That license is only good for this console, even if you transfer the license over.
And I think their big claim was that, oh, we changed the aspect ratio from 4:3 to 16:9.
Sure.
Pay us a dollar, please.
Well, and then all of the Wii U Virtual Console games, like the N64 ones that they did, like their brightness was so low that it was hard to see anything. I don't know if you ever saw those comparisons.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Like Donkey Kong 64 was basically unplayable.
Yeah,
I was going to say that one
specifically. Yeah, DK 64 was so bad on the Wii U. And it's never coming to the Switch Online, apparently.
I don't know why it doesn't. It's so weird how that works. But anyway, you know, that's kind of the retro content. I think we're both in agreement here that Nintendo needs to make a better effort at getting the retro content to us, not just on Switch, but of course, like not making it exclusive to a Nintendo console and having it available on PC would make it easy going forward. And so many people would pay for it. They really would.
Yeah. And it also opens up your IP to larger markets.
Yeah.
The Switch, of course, is not struggling with a customer base right now.
Right.
Previous Nintendo systems have definitely or could have definitely used the boost in some capacity.
Right. And I do think that, you know, you said casting a wider net and opening up a much larger market. You know, there are a lot of people out there that grew up with Super Mario Bros. And other NES games that don't have current day consoles, but do have laptops and do have computers. And having that available for them, they might be tempted to give it a shot since it might bring back memories from when they were little and whatnot. You know, I think that there's a lot of room for that as well.
Yeah. And if Nintendo is concerned that it'll just mean that no one will buy a Switch, the Steam Deck has proven at this point that people will still buy both.
Yeah.
Just having the cross save feature between your PC and because the Switch is portable in a sense, the Switch is able to sell itself on the merits of its own hardware now rather than trying to like keep games hostage.
Right. And see, that's a really good transition, Jordan, to talking about like current releases, like current Switch games and porting them to PC, right? Do you think they should?
I personally think they should. I don't think we could ever convince Nintendo to do it.
Right. I mean, that brings to mind, like, I had found this before we started recording. Furukawa, who was a Nintendo executive not too long ago, said in an investor meeting in 2018 the following: if publishers want to release cross-platform titles and doing so would make consumers happy, then as long as it is technically feasible, we would want to support them. That said, we have absolutely no plans to offer any Nintendo games as cross-platform titles at this time, end quote.
I mean, to his credit, they didn't release anything since then. It's
no.
been 4 years.
I mean, so they got it right, but maybe they could in the future. I do think that there are quite a few games that wouldn't necessarily work on PC with controls without being able to use like your Switch controller. It would be really hard to do high level competitive Splatoon if you're a motion control user with a keyboard and mouse.
Well,
just saying.
I mean, if it had keyboard and mouse controls, technically that'd be better than motion controls.
Not when it has the variable walking and variable swim speed animations. When you swim too fast, you get the nice like splatter effect behind you. If you swim just slow enough, you can make it so that you're completely invisible without even Ninja Squid. That's what I'm getting at.
Like, also, it's trivial to get a pro controller to work on PC.
Oh, I know. But last I heard, it was tricky to get motion controls properly working with like Steam and stuff, because nobody's really figured out entirely how Nintendo smooths it internally. But that's another discussion. if Nintendo were to release the games, I'm sure that they would actually make an official Nintendo-made driver for Windows and potentially Mac and Linux. Yeah,
their own storefront, because they're not going to pay Steam, what is it, 30%?
Yeah, there's no way.
Of the cut.
And we know that Nintendo is willing to create their own stores if they made this decision, because when they did the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 Special Edition, they wanted all of that money instead of giving it to GameStop and whatnot. And they put it on their store and it crashed their store so bad that they had to postpone the orders to another day. And then everybody still had to wait 5 hours before they could order it while they upscaled all of the nodes that they were running everything on. So Nintendo is definitely willing to use their own systems instead of having to pay for other people to do it. Though the Xenoblade Special Edition is a bit of a special case, because I think the reason that they did it on their own storefront is because the materials weren't all ready to ship to other vendors, because they did ship it out in two parts. But anyway, that's my rant about that. Back to Switch games on PC. Which games, Jordan, do you think would be the most interesting to have on Switch or on PC, or that would benefit the most?
Well, so I think this is probably one of the main reasons why Nintendo will never do this. But the games that would be the most interesting on PC are games that would be very open towards a mod scene of some sort. So Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey. There's already like a pretty decent mod scene for these games. It's just a lot harder to mod them than if it were on PC. And I could see Nintendo just not wanting to see their games get modded at a higher rate than they are now.
I know. I mean, you have all of the retro games that are being modded like heck, like all of the Zelda randomizers and Pokemon randomizers. Those things are super popular on streaming platforms and on YouTube and whatnot. I imagine having PC official versions would make that way faster and come out way quicker. But Jordan, think about the graphical improvements.
Oh man, the games would look so much better on PC, and which you'd have like good frame rates. Oh man, we could play Bowser. What was it? Bowser's Fury at higher than 10 frames per second. It'd be great.
Heck yes. I can't wait to play Breath of the Wild at 1080p officially.
Breath of the Wild 2 definitely would work a lot better on PC. I'm worried about that game.
I know.
Because Nintendo games have been kind of struggling with the hardware on Switch, but we talk about that enough.
Yeah, we do. This is more about what we could see on PC. I think we'd also see quite a few improvements across the board. You know, if Nintendo were to port them over, we'd definitely see those graphical improvements. We'd see frame rate improvements. They could also potentially take advantage of like newer technologies. Well, I say newer, but technologies that are now being more readily used, like HDR lighting and colors. You know, I think that a lot of Nintendo games would look amazing with HDR. And I don't know, I feel like it would also open up Nintendo games to a much larger market. You know, the games that are on, you know, Xbox and PlayStation and PC sell a lot more than some games that are just on Nintendo Switch. Though,
oh, definitely.
Some Nintendo games, not necessarily.
So exclusives typically always sell worse. Well, not always. There's certain games like Nintendo, like Mario Kart 8. But games typically sell a lot better being multi-plat than they do being exclusive.
I wonder why, Jordan. Do you think there's a reason for that?
It's because of the larger market.
What? That's a thing?
Yeah. So surprising, right?
I can't believe it. Well, and like, even if Nintendo required you to buy on Switch and then pay like half price for the PC port, like then people would be double dipping. And I know people would do that for if they had cross saves and stuff. Like, I would love to be able to play Breath of the Wild for a long time on my PC and then pick it up on my Switch, you know?
So knowing Nintendo, you would have to double dip, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You wouldn't be able to just buy it on the Nintendo service and then it works on multiple platforms.
Yeah, that's how they get you. And that's how they justify the PC port is they're going to make twice the amount of money. Now, if they do it on a service where it's like Steam and you get the license, which when you buy digital games on Switch, you do basically get a license and then it's just tied to that account and you can actually play it on any other Switch you're signed in on. I imagine they do the same thing for PC, though they might ask for a little bit more something for the graphical improvements, but who knows? Like, we're not businessmen. We don't make those decisions.
That also, though, would incentivize more people to buy digital rather than physical, which is more money for Nintendo, because then you don't have to like have the overhead of the retail stores take a cut. Also like manufacturing the physical device or the physical game, and then also shipping. I believe stores typically take like, what is it? 10%, 10 to 15%.
That number sounds right to me, but I don't know for sure.
So, instead of sharing the money, Nintendo would get all the money if people buy it digital rather than physical, and making it so that you have the option to switch between platforms would definitely boost people buying digital. I only buy physical games for Nintendo now at this point.
Yeah, same here. Though I don't really have any other consoles to really buy physical from, except for, I guess, my PS4. But my PS4 is now a generation old. So yeah, I don't really.
I got the PS5. So we'll see how much I use my PS5 once Sony brings out their service. Honestly, if it has cross save, I'll continue playing it plenty. Sometimes I really do just want to be out on the couch and playing casually. And sometimes I want to be on my PC and listening to Discord while I play.
Right. I mean, you know, social gaming is honestly really important. And when you have multiple monitors, you either sacrifice a whole PC monitor to play your game on Switch while you're listening to your friends, or you have to use a capture card and then stream the audio in that way, or you just play in handheld or something. Like, the having a PC has made it so easy for me to actually play games with friends, because I can have all of my audio going through the same place, everything piped through the computer itself. It's just been a much better experience in that regard. You know, yeah, I don't have also, to have two pairs of headphones or something if I want to play a Switch game with my friends.
So this year I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, and Elden Ring does not have cross save between the PS5 version and the Steam version. So I am one of the unfortunate people who bought it on both systems.
Oh, there you go.
I bought it for Steam, and then I also bought it on PC, or on the PS5. I got it on PC because I want mods, and I have a large group of friends who have it on PC, so I want to play with them. And then I got it on PS5 because I have another group of friends who I want to play with. And it's definitely a much less fun experience playing it on the PS5 versus PC, because when I'm playing with friends, then we want to be on like Discord or whatever, and the sound quality of having to manage like a Discord call and then also your PS5 is not too great, but whatever. And it's not like Sony got the double dipping money, right? FromSoft's probably like fine with this because they got all the money. But if Sony had finished their service where it has access to both PC and PS5, well, I guess Sony gets the same amount of money either way, so I don't know where I'm going with this now. But yeah. I would have bought it from them first before PC.
Yeah, because then you could play it on the PC through their store and also on your PlayStation. I totally get it. But FromSoft got double the money, I guess, from you.
Yeah, FromSoft's pretty happy. FromSoft's been pretty happy with me this last year.
Yeah, you also bought all the Souls games, didn't you?
Yeah, I played through every single FromSoft game this year. Well, all the Souls ones, everything from Dark Souls or Demon Souls onward.
That's amazing. So, but anyway, kind of pivoting back to how Nintendo could pull off this thing, I don't think Nintendo would release the games on, if they were to do PC, of course, I don't think they would release them on PC like at the same time as they do on Switch. They'd like to keep some kind of console exclusivity for at least a while. What amount of time do you think is the sweet spot for them to then release later on PC?
So I think the big issue with that is that they have evergreen titles now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In previous generations, I would have said maybe like 2 or 3 years. Or as soon as it either went out of print or went to the what did they call them? Like the greatest hits or whatever, the player's choice.
Yeah, something like that.
The heavily discounted
Nintendo Selects was another.
Yeah, Nintendo Selects. Whenever they would move it from being a $60 game to a $20 game, at that point, it's perfect to then put it for $60 on PC, which is the approach that Sony is doing at this very moment.
Yeah.
But right now, Breath of the Wild is still selling at $60.
And Mario it's Kart still 8 selling.
Mario Kart 8 is still selling at $60. Mario Kart 8's like, what, 10 years old now?
Yeah, and it has DLC. Like, they could recoup all of those costs with the DLC pack. Anyway.
So the evergreenness of their games definitely makes it more difficult. I would say either... I personally would say just screw it. Just do a dual release on launch day. But even if it's like 5 years or just like the previous generation, that would still be an improvement over where we are now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because when we get to the next console, oh man, if it's not backwards compatible, people are going to riot.
I'm going to riot if it's not backwards compatible, especially if I can't play like Splatoon 3 on the Switch 2 if it comes out before Splatoon 3's like end of life updates. Like, I don't know what Nintendo's going to do with the Switch 2. And we've talked about this before on the podcast. It's just, we are at such a weird time in Nintendo history where it has definitely been long enough for another console, but there's absolutely zero signs of it in the future besides the rumors that there's going to be an update. And those rumors have all been wrong because every single one of them is accompanied by a, and Nintendo will announce it at the next Direct, and then they never do.
Having the games be on PC would definitely... quiet shut you and me up, because then we would have like the games at like the quality that we want them to be at with the frame rates and the resolution. But
I don't know. Didn't they say like 2 years ago, Switch was only at like its halfway point or something in its life cycle?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. But like they're just doing corporate speak, right? So
right.
Who knows what that means? That could just mean like, oh, we're still going to keep selling the Switch in parallel with its successor, which is really concerning for the idea of backwards compatibility. But
right. Well, it's kind of like how they continued to sell the 3DS, even though they were no longer making games for it. So maybe that's what they mean.
But the Switch was not backwards compatible to the 3DS. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So
if you're going to be selling it in parallel, you're probably not going to be doing that if, one, it's like roughly the same price and is also backwards compatible.
But you know how to solve the backwards compatible issue, Jordan? Putting the games on PC. There we go. It's solved.
Yeah, then you preserve your legacy that way. Exactly. I am of the belief that Nintendo should always have their entire catalog be available for legal purchase in some capacity. Otherwise, they can't complain about pirates.
I totally agree. With how impactful and important their games are across the industry and how often people want to go back and play them, it absolutely needs to be available at all times. Like it just does.
I propose a law to be made that it is illegal to pirate a game that is not available for purchase.
I don't think any gamer out there would have an issue with that. The only people that would are the executives at Nintendo.
Yeah. We'll call it the game preservation law.
Yeah. A preservation law. That'd be a perfect way to introduce it and make it happen. Anyway, I also wanted to ask Jordan, what do you think about game exclusivity as a whole? Kind of like wrapping up our discussion here. Like, do you think having exclusives is like a good thing or is it a bad thing? And what are your thoughts on that?
So it's a multi-layered question. I believe for the most part, game exclusivity is bad for consumers, but really good for like whoever's holding the exclusivity, right?
Yeah.
Like we know that the only reason why people pick up certain consoles is because of what games are exclusive to that system. Well,
yep.
That was always the claim, but the Xbox is still selling even though it has no exclusives now.
Yeah. Well, it's cheaper than buying a whole gaming PC.
Well, that's the thing, right? People who are buying PCs are going to be PC gamers, whereas people who have no interest in buying a PC, even if it's exclusive to just like having it be console exclusive, would still have the effect of like exclusivity that you're expecting out of it from a company.
Yeah, I do agree.
Because there's just a lot of people who just will not buy PCs because building a rig that is like gaming compatible is difficult. Like it is for the average person. It's very difficult.
You have to make sure that you buy the right processor that's for you and your price budget and your like power budget. That's really tricky in today's day and age where you could buy like the latest Ryzen AMD processor, but that is way overpowered for anything you'll ever do on it, even throwing games at it. Or you might buy something on accident that's 6 years old and nothing that you want to do on it will actually run at a reasonable rate. Then, of course, you have all of the tiers of graphics cards that you have to consider and think about. Then you also have to make sure that you buy the right motherboard that goes with the processor that you chose, and also make sure you get the right memory and the amount that you need. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And I totally understand the barrier to entry for a PC, for somebody that wants to come into the PC industry. I was the same way for a long time. I had been thinking about building my own PC for probably about 5 or 6 years before I finally built one. And then I just did last year. And it was a great decision, even though it was a huge learning curve. So having these consoles is definitely necessary, I think, as long as we're not making, you know, cheap $300 laptops that can handle every game.
I will say, the average person playing Animal Crossing is not going to be someone who cares for PC.
No.
They will not care that the game is on PC.
No. Even like the average Pokemon player is the same way.
Or Mario Kart.
Yeah. Most of Nintendo's big franchises, the average player within them, they only want to Switch. That's a guarantee. But
yeah, I was going to say, like my mom, she plays Mario Kart and Animal Crossing, and she wouldn't get a gaming PC. But then I just realized that she does have a gaming PC, so that didn't.
But she wouldn't get it for Animal Crossing or Mario Kart.
Right. And she only has a gaming PC because I built it for her. Yeah.
It's like telling your friend, go buy a gaming PC so you could play Stardew Valley, when you could just buy Stardew Valley on Switch. No, you build a gaming PC because you want to play PC games, or you have like workloads for your job or for like your student work or whatever, where you actually need a PC, and you figure, well, I can save some money by combining that productivity with my hobbies. And
well, and there's also like good laptops out there that are still fine enough to play a lot of games, but
yeah, that aren't specifically gaming laptops. As long as you like are okay with lower frame rates, you can use integrated graphics. It's fine. I wouldn't recommend it. There's
some laptops out there with dedicated graphics as well, but
oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing though I was going to say is one nice thing about game exclusivity is that it incentivizes Nintendo to make risks with certain games that they wouldn't otherwise, right?
Yes.
So if the game isn't exclusive, then the entire profitability of that game is whatever it can generate in sales. Whereas if a game is exclusive, it has kind of like this more hidden profitability through sales of systems, and also sales of other series down the line that are a bit less profitable, because now that you have people in your environment, they're more likely to pick up those other games.
Exactly. They pull up the Nintendo Switch eShop if they're digital downloaders, and they'll see the promotions for that game, and they might consider picking it up. You know, it's much more likely in that regard. Plus, people going to Best Buy or GameStop or wherever they sell physical games will also be like, oh, my son has a Switch, and they'll browse through a handful of titles, and then they'll probably pick one just off the shelf there that they think looks nice for their kid. And it's much more likely that it's Nintendo only if Nintendo pads out most of those physical games with their own exclusives. So, yeah, that's definitely a benefit.
So that is one concern I have, where maybe Nintendo would be less likely to take risks on games that are specifically designed to draw in another market to their console. So say like Metroid, for example, it's pretty different from other Nintendo series. And that is partially because at least with like some of the previous Nintendo consoles, I don't know about Dread, but we know with Prime that they were using Metroid to target to cast a wider net of potential customers to bring into the GameCube environment.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And that happened with the GameCube. I know a lot of people that bought the GameCube for Prime, and Prime was basically like one of their initial sellers too, right? It released the same year as the GameCube.
So I would be concerned that some of their smaller franchises, say Pikmin or Metroid or whatever, they get kind of pushed further down the priority list when exclusivity is no longer a main objective.
Right. I would also point out that exclusivity also probably helps with development of the games as well. If everyone's only developing for Switch at your headquarters and you're not even thinking about how it could run on PC, then everybody is locked into how that ecosystem works. The games typically get pretty well optimized for the hardware. I mean, there are exceptions. You know, Bowser's Fury looks super cool and has a high resolution, but stutters a lot. Breath of the Wild suffers from some stutter issues as well. But Nintendo has been pretty good, at least this generation, on optimization. And I think that a lot of that boils down to, we are only releasing this on Switch, so we can spend most of our development time only thinking about how to get it to run better on Switch.
Yeah, I would definitely be more in line with that if Nintendo's systems were a bit more powerful graphically. So like Sony was a big example of this. Multiplats on the PS3 typically ran worse than the 360 just because it was so hard to port to the PS3. But when Sony made an exclusive for the PS3, it was absolutely fantastic. Like Last of Us on the PS3 just...
Yeah.
It was mind blowing how good it looked, and it was on console, not on PC. So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think that it would be better if the Switch was more powerful, and that would make more sense. But I don't know, like it would be hard for them to at least in my mind, I think it would be harder to design a game that they know is going to eventually release on Switch on PC, but then have to like narrow it down so it would work on Switch better at first. I don't know. It's a complicated balancing game, at least for me. I think they could do it, but given how long it took Nintendo to delve into the world of HD graphics and how some of their studios, Game Freak, are struggling with HD still, I don't know how much better it would be to have those games also be ported to PC. I don't know.
Just yeah, Nintendo's there. Interesting in that they're a trendsetter for hardware and they always lag behind in software.
Yeah. I mean, their games are super fun and a lot of games people play because they're, you know, a different type of fun than other games. But yeah, no, visually speaking and technically speaking, their software is always behind everyone else.
Well, and also like their feature sets for like, say, online.
Or how it took them until like, what, 2 years ago or a year ago to finally allow Bluetooth headphones when we know that the Bluetooth chip in the Switch can handle like 8 Switch controllers. Like, you know, it's not a weak Bluetooth chip, guys. Anyway, it's funny how that ends up playing out. But anyway, I think that there are definitely merits and benefits to having exclusives. You know, we've talked about quite a few of those. But I do think that in the long run, when it comes to availability, being able to have a wider market reach, and then, of course, preservation of the art that is a video game, it makes much more sense for Nintendo to branch out to much more common pieces of hardware and platforms out there. Plus, I think that Mario would be so fun to play on my PC. Especially yeah. Zelda. Let me play Zelda at a high resolution on my PC without having to like rip the game and emulate it.
Yeah, just better performance for Zelda would be so nice. And then also just moving it to a different controller. It's easier to map buttons how I want them to be mapped.
I know. At least you can map buttons on the Switch now. You couldn't when it first launched. Again, another software feature that's like, why didn't this come out initially? I don't know if I have much else to add about the topic of exclusivity. What do you think, Jordan? Anything else?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, I guess we'll just go ahead and end the episode here if we're both good at that. So, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. We really appreciate you being here. Come check out our Discord server at nintendofusion.com/discord and talk about Nintendo stuff with us. It'll be fun. Be sure to leave us a like, comment, or review, depending on what platform you're listening to us on. That helps the algorithm recommend the show to more people, and we would really, really appreciate that. But with all that said, that's all we've got this week. Thanks so much for listening again, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.